We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Wait a minute. We talk again.
Hi, Trish.
Oh, that's why I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, because the music was so loud.
Welcome back, everybody!
I was like, what did Andrew press while I was gone?
Yeah, it's always Andrew.
Oh my God.
Rach is out today. She'll be back tomorrow.
It's falling apart.
And it was such a good 2 hours.
I know. I don't know what happened. I got in my head.
Yeah, I don't know. Hi, Dave.
Hi there. Welcome back.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So, everybody did a great job, but we missed you.
Well, that's great. That's the best of all worlds. Been looking forward to talking to you about this before we jump into the forecast.
Sure.
Everyone who's ever gone on vacation comes back and says, I'm going to move there. But I came back from Colorado my second time in a year. My daughter loved it so much that she's making a little bit of noise about maybe going to college there. I'm really thinking in 2 years when she graduates, given the technology now, and you can do a radio show from anywhere, I really might move out there. You waited until you actually retired from television to move to your new place.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about that. Like, does it live up to the fantasy of, I'm going to go from St. Louis to Laguna Beach, I'm going from St. Louis to Keystone, Colorado? Has it lived up to the hype for you?
Yes, but I'm going to throw one little thing in here. We bought our house 5 years before we actually pulled the trigger.
Interesting.
So we had almost every vacation during that 5 years before retirement, we were at the house. Almost every vacation.
Gotcha.
And so you got a good feel for it. And you got a feel for, like, will this work?
Yeah, that's smart.
Is this what we want to do? And if it isn't what you want to do, then yeah, what? You turn around, you sell the house, and you look for some other location.
That's the way to do it before you pick up and move out there.
Yeah,
and then
I would highly recommend that. You know, if you can afford it, I would highly recommend that.
Do it.
Great. So
start
I'm just
now.
Gonna go buy another house.
Yeah, start now. You can rent it out.
Oh, boy. That's not, Dave, that is not what I wanted to hear from you.
No, really.
Well,
don't you think that's a lot smarter, though, than packing up and moving and then you hate it?
Yeah.
I mean, I know in your mind right now you can't think of a scenario where you would hate it,
yeah.
But you might.
But you know what? I'm really lucky. Because I have a really rich friend that already has a house
there
out there that I can go stay for free.
There you go.
Problem solved.
Yeah, but you go out there enough that you get a feel. You
yeah.
get to start to meet the locals. You get to see where the hangouts are, not the tourist places.
Yeah.
And you maneuver. You know how to maneuver around the tourist places. So you're kind of doing it already.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. So I understand I missed some pretty nasty weather here last week.
Yeah, I guess so.
You weren't that impressed?
It was so hot. It was like
hot.
98 one day, Dave.
Oh, no.
Dave is hard to impress.
I know. It's like the heat hit you in the face.
Yes, there were, 2 days like that?
Yeah, but it felt like 10.
Trish, were you the one telling me that you were walking somewhere and you just stood for a minute? Was it you telling me?
That would
someone
not
was telling
have been me.
No. Someone was telling me that it was so hot that they just stood there for a minute to take it. I thought it was Nick. Like, he just stood there to take it all in. It was at night to think, like, it is this hot at night. Like, just to feel the misery for a minute.
It was like 78 overnight, wasn't it? A couple of those nights?
That was part of the problem is that even, like, at 10 o'clock, we were still in the 90s. And it cooled off as we got into the late night. But even that, you know, 78, 79, 80 degrees at night is very warm.
And Dave, didn't you say, I think you told me this years ago, that's what really kills the grass? It's the nighttime heat?
That's what gets everything. That's what leads to heat wave deaths. It's not so much the heat during the day. It's that nothing cools off at night. And yeah, and that will lead to real problems.
So gorgeous now. What are we looking at for the rest of the week?
Yeah, really gorgeous. Just to give you an idea, we're 80, 81 degrees right now. The normal this time of year is 90 degrees. So that's why it feels so good out there. The humidity is low. So we're going down to 59 tonight, 82 tomorrow, all about sunshine, comfortable. Thursday, partly sunny, bring it up to about 85. But I still think the humidity levels are bearable on Thursday. Friday morning's great. Partly sunny skies, a little more humid in the afternoon. We should get to 90. It's hot and humid over the weekend. I don't see much in the way of thunderstorm activity, but 92 to 95 degrees Saturday and Sunday.
Dave Murray's forecast sponsored by Air Comfort. Get in your comfort zone with 0% financing. Visit aircomfortservice.com.
Look, it's just like Rachel's here.
I know.
Yeah. I thought of you, Dave. I did all the driving. Phoebe and her boyfriend went with me. I did all the driving. And so I did a lot of radio listening. And, Trish, you'll get this because I think you do it over at KZK. I realized, much to my dismay at first, that I love Yacht Rock. Yeah. I was very embarrassed about that at first. But I'm listening to Yacht Rock on XM.
It's cool.
I'm
like,
I'm going to turn it, the first bad song. And I'm just like, oh my God, I love Pablo Cruz.
Ambrosia.
And then I realized, like, what is there to be embarrassed of? Phoebe right now at 16, someday will enjoy her version of Yacht Rock. Whatever she's listening to right now that I have no idea, when she's 56 or 46 or something, her kids, my grandkids will look at her and go, seriously?
Yeah, right.
This is what you listen to.
No, but Yacht Rock, every song's good.
Every song.
Doobie Brothers is considered Yacht Rock. Michael McDonald.
It's one of those stations that you're just like, okay, do I want to save it? Do I want it on my preset? It's summertime. Why not? And then you find yourself listening to it all the time.
Yeah. I was really like, Andrew, talk to me about this, because you're in between me and Phoebe, obviously. So what is it that, what is like your cool music that you know someday you'll be scoffed at?
Like 80s is for us? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, that's tough. Probably like the emo wave from like the mid-2000s, right? Like that's kind of like my music that I had growing up. That's what I listened
to. For example.
Like, and still listen to. Oh, boy, for example.
Would we know any of it?
No, I mean, you probably wouldn't, to be
Dave
honest.
Might.
But groups like Senses Fail, kind of the tail end of groups that were influenced by, like, Green Day, Blink-182, you know, that sort of thing, that kind of, like, you might call it pop punk or something like
so
that.
So someday
right?
you'll listen to, like, School Shooter Rock, and then you'll be like, look, kids, I swear to God.
Yes.
This used to be cool.
And it's like, this is what they listened to back in the day.
So did you just turn 31?
Yes.
Okay. Are you far enough along? Like, I can't believe that I'll turn 57 September 6th. I can't believe in 13 years I'll be 70.
That's crazy.
It's not.
That is crazy.
Possible. Can you at least see my age coming?
No, I mean, I kind of can, but I mean, I couldn't really. I'm 31 and I can't see 30 coming. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
but it's behind you.
That's typical, Andrew.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, it's. I don't think you never feel your age, right?
That's what I brought up that not too long ago, because I can't believe. I mean, I'm 2 years away from 50, and it does not seem real.
Yeah, you never feel, you always, you know, you have that, and that's, I think, a good thing. I think it's good to help you stay. But here's the thing,
and this is a big giant duh, but it's one thing in life. Like, it's not inevitable to look old or to be fat or out of shape. Age is inevitable.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do. And so for the people, like, let's just, Andrew never gives me trouble, but someone Andrew's age looking at me and being like, oh my God, just shoot me before I'm 57. The way that I look at people who are 75, 80 and think, no, there's no way around it.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Yeah. Like I acknowledge that it's coming. You know what I mean? Like I acknowledge, but it's like, it's to think that it's so close is such a strange thought. You know
yes.
what I mean? Yeah.
Dave, how about you? What number daunts you at this point, if any?
I've always been concerned at of 75 because I think that's when body parts start to go on you. Mm-hmm. If you stay in shape. With that said, though, I have a good friend who's in his mid-70s. I have a good friend who's 82. I have another good friend who's like 83. And if you saw these three people and you talked to them, you would say, no way. There's no way they're in their 80s. No way.
Yeah.
And I think it's just you have to make an effort. And the effort gets harder and harder each year that goes by. But if you're willing to make the effort, because it's really easy to say, forget it. I'm just going to sit around and rot. No, not going to do that.
Let me take a hard left turn a little bit, because we're talking about Andrew and music and youth. DaBaby, I don't know one song. I've heard of him before. Okay, so he's in the news now because he got caught with a bunch of homophobic stuff, and he was dropped from Lollapalooza, and he's making all these apologies. I read his apology, and one thing struck me. He said, basically, paraphrasing, hey, the internet moves so quickly, social media moves so quickly, you guys didn't even give me time to learn. You didn't even give me time to adjust. You just canceled me. And I thought, amen, brother, I get that. Now, I don't know exactly what he said, but if that applied to everyone, like, I'm completely making a judgment here, but I doubt that he would give the same quarter to someone who said something terrible in a racial way. But if we're going to cut people slack on one thing, and I'm okay with that, I think everyone deserves slack, shouldn't we cut it on everybody for everything? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, I find it hard to believe. I'm not saying he didn't, obviously, but I find it hard to believe that that's his apology and not like his PR team or whatever, because he at first...
Didn't he like double down on it?
Yeah, he at first went on Instagram and was like... You're all crazy. I mean what I said. Get out of my face. And then he started losing. People said
once
that he
it hits the pocketbook.
People said he started losing da bookings because he lost like Lollapalooza and a few other festivals.
You've been holding on to that one, haven't you?
That one's from the internet, and because then they said he made da apology, which is
oh my god. It's not like he said it a long time ago and someone unearthed it. He said it on stage.
He said it on stage
at his concert
at a massive festival called Rolling Loud in Miami. To like thousands of people in a huge, you know, field. So it's not like, yeah, you know, I was in high school and, you know, I've grown a lot since then. It was like a week and a half ago.
Right. So let's do this pretty quick, Trish, because we have to get going. But we had a conversation at lunch today, the three of us, that Matt Damon, I'm reading over my break. I'm like, Matt Damon just canceled himself. And you're saying now he's saying that, oh, no, my 5-year-old daughter got it wrong or something like that?
Well, this is how he explained the story. So his daughter was talking to him about life when he was a kid, and he was explaining that the F word used to describe gay people was used commonly, like that 3-letter version too. Like he'd hear it on the streets, people used it all the time. Not that he did, he was just saying back then people didn't know any better. So he told his daughter about that, and then she wrote a big, long letter. Not about how it's bad and how we all should learn and get better. Not necessarily about him saying it, just how it was when he was growing up.
How did the world get it so wrong when every outlet reported that he used it up until a few months ago?
Yeah, I don't know. It somehow got misconstrued, but he's saying, no, that's not how it went. Isn't that the story, Andrew, pretty much?
Yeah, but that seems just contradictory to what he said. You know,
but
what I
that
mean?
Seems more likely.
Yeah, it
doesn't
does.
It a story that Matt Damon's that dumb that till a couple months ago he would use that word? I mean, it seems more likely he was explaining to his daughter.
You can Google this. I told Rach about this way before the Matt Damon thing happened a couple weeks ago, and she Googled it and found it. I was on Glenn Beck on CNN, 2012 maybe, and. That was the issue. And I said in the interview, you know, the F word that refers to gay men. And Glenn says to me, oh, come on, Dave, you can't say it. And I'm like, well, I'm not really comfortable saying it. And he said it about 20 times.
Oh.
And he kept saying it over and over again and saying, you can't say this
like
word.
Making fun of you almost?
Yes,
or poking you?
100%. And it went on Media Matters and it blew. And this was like, God, 8-10 years ago.
Very smart of you to not.
Yeah, really.
I didn't even need my daughter to write an essay about it. So thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
Alrighty.
425 DGS. We have Chet Pleben on the other side to talk about Cuomo, which I happened to watch that press conference live this morning. It was really amazing. And now President Biden has joined pretty much every Democrat of note in calling for Governor Cuomo to resign. Andrew, you had an interesting take at lunch that you think that his brother Chris on CNN should also resign his position.
Yeah, I think when that story came out the other day that he was aiding his brother in like counseling his brother on how to handle the allegations against him, I think that's a pretty serious ethics breach, if nothing else. I mean, I know he's not covering that story, but this is, I mean, it's pretty clear that, especially now after this investigation, that Cuomo did it. I mean, he's guilty of having harassed those women, and for your anchor to go on and be like, here's how you prove those women who aren't lying.
So, like, even if you take away the conflict of interest, just the fact that a famous guy helped his brother to come up with a way to combat this looks pretty bad.
It's not a good look.
Yeah. And Trish, you figured out an Olympic event that you can compete in?
Oh, well, you know, when you're watching, you're like, yeah, I could maybe do that.
I do. I'm very familiar.
I could not do, like, I was watching the 1500 meter. No way.
Oh, don't sell yourself short.
Katie Ledecky wins the gold. I, like, took a bathroom break while she was doing that because it was 15 minutes. So I couldn't do that or run. But I was thinking, the trampoline, like, I was watching those guys. Like, I could do that.
I didn't know that's an event.
Yeah. But they are doing, you know, flips and turns in the air like gymnasts, but they're on a trampoline.
Okay.
But if there was if you had to pick one, yeah, I could maybe do that.
So if the Olympic trampoline was just going up and down, you might be able to do it.
I'm saying even the flips. I think that would be the easiest thing to learn, I'm saying. Haven't you ever watched the Olympics and been like, yeah, maybe I could do that?
I pretty famously a few years ago said, I'm confident that with proper training, and I think I even gave myself an hour, I could be the middle guy on the bobsled team. Like, if all I have to do is push and run real fast, jump in and sit.
That's a sport you could do.
I think I could do that.
See, mine's a trampoline.
Yeah. Now, do you have special skills at trampoline?
I mean, I did it when I was little.
Did you? Like flips and everything?
Yeah, because our across the street neighbor, the Benzes, had a trampoline
in their backyard. Sure.
So that was like the
house. One of like the Hoosier trampolines?
To go to. Yeah.
Like the one with the net on it and stuff?
Oh, it didn't even have a net. No, this is the 80s.
Oh.
It had no net.
And
we were in the middle of the woods with trees everywhere, and the backyard was like on a hill.
Oh, my God.
And you know what else they had is one of those, the tetherball. Oh, my God.
Oh. Now you're talking.
That was fun.
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
I used to lay in bed at night and cry because my hands hurt so bad.
From the tetherball.
From tetherballing.
Smacking it.
Oh.
And then it'd get tangled around your arm.
There's no feeling like when you know you've won and you're just doing the thing where it's at the top. And you're just like, bing, 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 bing. And there's just no way the other person's coming back. Oh.
I haven't seen a tetherball in a really long time.
Did you play that, Andrew? Did it skip a generation?
Tetherball?
No tethering?
Yeah, tetherball was never. Well, I think it still existed, but I never played it.
Yeah, that's like us doing the midsummer, like, yeah, you know, ring around the rosy thing. The rosy. Yeah.
What about the hacky sack? Did you guys used to do that?
I wanted to really bad. I wanted to be cool, but I couldn't do it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We all have our limitations, Trish.
Trampoline, that's my sport.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 437, attorney Chet Pleben joins us. Hey, Chet.
Hey, Dave. Welcome home.
Yeah.
How was your vacation?
It was fantastic. Fantastic.
Were you down to Florida?
No, I was in Colorado.
Oh, well, good. Well, at least you stayed away from the COVID capital of the world,
yeah,
Florida.
No kidding.
That's probably, oh, man.
And then I came home to what feels like the COVID capital of the world. So when I'm on vacation, I try not to look at the news. And, you know, every day of my life, I go to every website, to Drudge and CNN and Huffington Post and MSNBC. And I made the mistake of going to Drudge one morning, and the front page story, all capitals in red, was about St. Louis County Council. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah. Now you know what I feel like when I'm not in St. Louis and friends of mine saying, What is going on in St. Louis? I mean, what possibly can these people be doing up there that's generating that kind of national attention? But here we are. Here we go again.
Yeah. So let's talk about Governor Cuomo. I don't think anyone knew that this press conference was happening this morning. And I just happened to click on the news, do some show prep, and I saw the whole thing. And it certainly sounds terrible and believable about this sort of reign of terror that Governor Cuomo had. And now the president has joined Pelosi and Schumer in calling for him to resign. I just want to get your thoughts about the legalities of it and civil liabilities and possible criminal liabilities and see what you thought.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good day to be Andrew Cuomo. 168-page report by independent investigators, a former prosecutor and an employment lawyer. So you have what they interviewed, 179 witnesses, 11 women who have come forward, nine of which were either current or former, including, Dave, one state trooper.
Yeah.
Apparently, she was assigned to his security detail. And apparently, there are witnesses, or at least a witness, to something that he did to her. So I think this is a pretty bad day for Andrew Cuomo. There are issues with respect to retaliation of people that came forward and said that these things were occurring. The problem that he's going to have is that with this many people, I mean, it's not one person coming forward, and that person you can say, okay, you know, he said, she said. These are 11 people, and apparently 179 people, not all of whom, but some of whom will corroborate what these 11 women have to say. And so when these investigators come to the conclusion that Cuomo is guilty of sexual harassment in whatever form, what they're doing is they're analyzing. They're analyzing what these women have said. They're analyzing 11 hours worth of apparently testimony that Cuomo himself, an interview that he gave under oath, apparently. So they're comparing and contrasting and seeing whether or not what he was saying during those 11 hours stood the test of and could be corroborated in other ways. And apparently that failed. So now you have three areas that the legal challenges and legal issues will take place. One is with respect to an impeachment. And there are multiple people currently, and I don't think the list is complete yet, who are calling for him to resign. Whether he does or he doesn't, I don't know. I think it's probably a little too early to tell. But if the assembly in New York decides to impeach him, it's interesting. Their rules are a little different than the federal rules, et cetera. And that is that the governor, if he is actually impeached, and by impeached, that doesn't mean that he's guilty. Impeached means that he's accused of this type of sexual harassment, sexual misconduct. He has to step aside. And then the lieutenant governor apparently assumes the role. And until this is all completed in whatever form it takes, he doesn't act in a gubernatorial capacity. The second issue is criminal. And from the sounds of it in this, I didn't read the entire 168-page report, but you're talking about groping. You're talking about fondling women, touching their breasts, touching their backsides. Well, that's assaultive behavior. That's a crime. That's a criminal act. So I suspect that what's going to occur now is that the prosecutors in New York, at wherever the venue might be for these alleged criminal acts, they're going to take a look at what the 168 pages has to tell them as it relates to that criminal act. Now, remember, the guilt in a criminal case has to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. So there's a little higher burden of proof in the criminal phase of this. And then the third issue is civil litigation. And I have to assume that some or all of these 11 women are certainly going to file some sort of civil lawsuit looking for civil damages. Now, when that occurs, I don't know. Again, that's a different standard of proof. That's a preponderance of the evidence. And so if these women essentially have 51% of the evidence, Cuomo has 49%, the women win. So
Chet, I'm really fascinated by the psychological part of this. And mm-hmm. I know that over your decades of experience as a trial lawyer, you have represented powerful people who knew they were good for it and knew that the minute they let their guard down, they were done. Like, how did you counsel these people? And obviously not to give up any attorney-client privilege, but just in general, when you have a client that's good, they're going to either make a deal or they're going to be found guilty and their life as they have known it heretofore is over with. Talk to me about just the psychology of that.
Well, it depends. It depends on what the evidence is. Obviously, you have 168 pages worth of a report here. You have statements that people have made. And so, you know, this is a tough hill for him to climb. And so you look at that first and then you say, hey, look, why don't you explain this to me? This is what the report says. What's the counter to that? And so then you go point by point by point. Now, apparently he has said that he's done that exercise with his lawyer and that his lawyer has countered every single point. I doubt that that happened. Doubt seriously that that happened. And so what you do is you sit down and you kind of have a come to Jesus meeting with them. And so you explain to them what's going to happen someplace down the road. You can sit there and you can tell me when we're going through the 168 pages that there's no way, no how that they're ever going to be able to prove this. But the fact of the matter is that you're going to have to testify. These women are going to come in. They're going to testify. And so you have to face the reality of the situation. And so once you get people to that point, then you start looking at how are we going to unravel all this thing? How are we going to get you out from under this? In the first instance, how are we going to make sure that you don't go to the penitentiary for any sort of criminal act that you have allegedly performed here that they may be able to prove? And then secondly, What about your political career? Is an impeachment, you know, in your best interest? Is that your best interest of your family? Is that in the best interest of the Cuomo name? And then you talk about the civil side of it, and that's just a matter of money. That's just a matter of throwing enough money at it so that, you know, you can get out from under that, you know, the same way most people, most celebrities, the way what's-his-face did, I can't think of his name, the guy that just they just released from prison, Cosby,
Bill Cosby.
Yeah, you know, he threw a bunch of money at it, but again, that didn't prevent him from at least being prosecuted. So, you know, at the end of the day, some people will tell you, look, no, I'm not good for this, and I'm going to go and I'm going to prove it. And so those are the cases that, contrary to whatever advice you're going to give them, those are the cases that are tried. And in most cases, not successfully tried.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, they're probably regretting that they made that decision.
It's hubris, man. It's tough to get out of your, it's tough to admit that you're good for something so heinous.
Well, you know, but the problem is, and a lot of these politicians, they talk and they talk and they talk. You know, Trump did a whole bunch of talking, probably as his lawyers were cringing at some of the things that he said. Cuomo, back in March, apologized for making people feel uncomfortable. Well, you know, sexual harassment isn't just a matter of groping, you know, a female breast. Sexual harassment can take the form of verbal in addition to physical harassment. And so these are, offensive remarks. Now, does it prohibit simple teasing, offhanded comments? Those sort of, no. But when it's pervasive and so severe that it creates a hostile work environment, that's a problem. And so, you know, he can say, hey, I kiss people in public. Okay. And some of those things may be fine, you know. But when you talk about this being pervasive and continuing on, that's where we get into trouble. That's the problem. Yeah. That's how you define sexual harassment. And I suspect that's probably what they're going to be able to prove.
All right, buddy. We'll probably be talking to you tomorrow about it. Thanks for your time. Talk to you then.
You bet. Okay.
So we have the Bomberito 500 coming up very soon over at Worldwide Technology. And we're going to talk to a couple of the race organizers at the top of the hour. We also have Scott Dixon, who I knew they were going to give me a driver. I didn't know they were going to give me the driver, though. He really is like the guy in Indy racing right now. So he'll be joining me by phone at the top of the hour. This is a short little weird segment because we went so long with Chet Bleeben talking about the Cuomo situation. So I apologize for that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.